Rough Ritter by Anne Caldwell Whitmore, narrator E. Vance. Carla Jegu. Bully, Theodore Roosevelt was the most alive person in whatever room he occupied. Every person who met him, friends, enemies, diplomats, cowboys, naturalists, boxing partners, heads of state, came away with the same impression. The force of his personality was overwhelming. Like standing next to a furnace, he radiated energy, enthusiasm, and will. He had opinions about everything, knowledge of almost everything, and a vocabulary of superlatives that he deployed without irony. When something pleased him, a particularly interesting species of bird, a perfectly executed judo throw, a well-argued brief in a regulatory case, he would exclaim, "Bully," with an enthusiasm that contemporaries found irresistible. He meant it every time. Roosevelt was born in 1858 into a New York family of considerable wealth and social standing, a child of the Gilded Age who came to despise the Gilded Age's excesses. He was sickly, asthmatic, nearsighted, and terrifyingly determined. He decided early in childhood to overcome his physical limitations through sheer force of will, to build the body his inheritance had denied him. He built it, and in the process built a philosophy of life centered on the strenuous life, the conviction that character was forged through difficulty and that the greatest danger facing America was not poverty or oppression but softness, the comfortable slide into ease that wealth and modernity made possible. This philosophy shaped everything Roosevelt did. It shaped his presidency, the most active, most interventionist, most consequential presidency between Lincoln and Franklin Roosevelt. It shaped his foreign policy, the assertion that America must be strong, must project power, must lead the world rather than withdraw from it. It shaped his conservation work, the conviction that wilderness must be protected not because it was useless, but because its challenge built the national character. It even shaped his race prejudice. He believed in racial hierarchies, but also believed that individuals could transcend them through character and achievement, a combination that produced views both more enlightened and more confused than most of his contemporaries. Theodore Roosevelt was president from 1901 to 1909. In 8 years, he transformed what the American presidency was and what it could do. He believed that the president was the steward of the national interest, entitled to use all powers not explicitly forbidden by the Constitution in service of that interest. He used those powers. He busted trusts, regulated railroads, mediated labor disputes, built the Panama Canal, negotiated a peace treaty between Russia and Japan, and set aside more land for conservation than all previous presidents combined. He did all of this with an energy and a conviction that made even his opponents acknowledge that something new was happening in American government. His critics had a word for it: imperialism, paternalism, executive overreach. His admirers had another: leadership. The tension between these interpretations has never been fully resolved because Roosevelt himself embodied the contradiction. He was a great president who held views about race and empire that were genuinely harmful. He was a conservationist who also loved to hunt. He was a trust buster who also respected the power of organized capitalism. He was a man of the 19th century who shaped the 20th. Understanding him requires holding all of this in mind simultaneously, which is appropriate because he himself held contradictions in his capacious, restless, magnificent mind. This is the story of Theodore Roosevelt, the man, the president, the force of nature who arrived in American politics at the turn of a century and refused to let his country remain what it had been. The making of Theodore War Roosevelt, 1858-1880. Chapter 1. The Sickly Child. Roosevelt's Early Years and the Will to Self-Transformation. On the night of October 27, 1858, in a brownstone house on East 20th Street in Manhattan, Theodore Roosevelt entered the world. He was born into one of New York's most prominent families. His father, Theodore Roosevelt Sr., was a wealthy merchant and philanthropist of Dutch and English descent. His mother, Martha Bullock of Roswell, Georgia, came from a family with deep roots in the Southern aristocracy. The child who arrived that October night would become one of the most consequential Americans who ever lived. But he arrived in unpromising physical condition, asthmatic, frail, his lungs so weak that he could not run without gasping, his body so slight that other children might easily bully him if he ventured beyond the protection of his home. The asthma was serious. In an era before bronchodilators or corticosteroids, asthmatic attacks were terrifying episodes of suffocation. The airways constricting, the lungs working frantically against the resistance, the sensation